You're listening to the Cycling Podcast at the Vuelta a España in association with Rafa, celebrating the sport and producing the finest cycling clothing since 2004. Today, we're in Sierra de la Pandera.
My name's Richard Moore. I'm with Fran Reyes.
Hello, Richard. Hello, listeners.
Dream come true for me. We played in there with a little snatch of singing from the car. That was Fran singing along to "Pretty Girls Make Graves." It's a great old Smith song.
I can't trust you anymore. I mean, I was freewheeling singing, and all of a sudden I realized that I had your mobile phone sticking in my mouth.
It's a Spanish Morrissey. You even got his hair at the moment. I know you were looking for a haircut this morning. It didn't quite come up.
Now, failed to find them.
Fran, we're on top of Pandera, this incredible climb. The views from up here are quite extraordinary. I feel like we're on top of the earth here.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, this is a underdeveloped province, Jaén, and from the Sierra de la Pandera, we can see all the lowlands, all the flatlands with olives growing.
A lot of olives. We pretty horrible smells we came through.
Yeah, I mean, but those smells come from the factories where olive oil is produced. But, you know, for me, it smells like heaven, because afterwards you have extra virgin, extra neat olive oil for you.
Kind of put me off a little bit. Before we get on with today's podcast, and we are recording as the stage is approaching, well, as the riders are approaching the foot of this climb. They've got about 16 kilometers to go as we watch. Fantastic crowds out today. Great crowds lining the climb here in the villages and so on. Really quite spectacular. It's a Saturday, of course. But before we get... we'll be doing the tale of the etapa a little bit differently tonight.
Finally, a twist for the tale of the etapa.
The important thing is that we are doing the tale of the etapa because a phenomenal backlash to you and Daniel slagging it off last night. John Higgins on Facebook: "The tale of the etapa is one of the reasons for me to listen. Most of the time I cannot actually catch stage live. I would like it longer, actually." Then we've got Ned McCulloch sent me a message also demanding that the tale of the etapa remains. Other messages: John Doloff sent us an email requesting extended tale of the etapa. We had quite a few messages from people, is the bottom line, saying that they like the tale of the etapa. So this is a bit different tonight because the stage is not finished yet, but to give you a little update on where we are at the moment, stage got off a little bit late because David de la Cruz punctured the neutralized zone, so there was a small delay for it to wait for him. Breakaway went Rafael Maika, Patrick Conrad from Bora Hansgrohe, Alexis Goujard from H2R Le Mondial, Simon Clark and Davide Villela from Cannondale Drapac. Rui Costa, remember him?
Yeah, he's racing.
And he's in the breakaway, or he was, he might still be actually. Bart de Klerk, Lotte Soudal, Luis Angel Matte, your friend from Cofidis, Stefan Denfield from Denif, is that how you pronounce his name?
Oh, I think Denif.
Denifo from Aqua Blue Sport, and Ricardo Viela from Manzana Postobon. They built a fairly comfortable lead. Villela obviously going for more King of the Mountains points. I spoke to Yelly Wallies this morning in the start. He's obviously had terrible luck, had terrible crashes. He's now telling me that he's got a hip infection. But still smiling, amazingly. And it's been a tough old day, Fran, so far. And that break has been whittled down to Maika, Rui Costa, Bart de Klerk, Villela, although actually he's just been dropped. He may have got back on, but he was dropped on a climb there. And Patrick Conrad. So two Bora Hansgrohe riders there. There have been quite a lot of work done behind by Astana, Katusha, and Bahrain Merida, giving Sky a bit of a day off.
Yeah, I am a bit surprised that Bora is trying so hard today, because, you know, since they perfectly know the terrain tomorrow at Sierra Nevada, I was expecting them to wait to hold a bit and save energy for tomorrow, as Romain Bardet, for example, is doing, and the whole AG2R team. But yeah, it seems like the bunch is trying to keep as high pace as possible, and probably the victory is will be contended from the bunch rather than from the breakaway.
Well, it looks like it's the stage win is going to come from the group of GC favourites. Chris Froome would be the favourite, I would imagine, assuming he's recovered from his crashes. That's what Michael Woods thought this morning when I spoke to him. And speaking of Michael Woods, he, of course, was our Pedler de Charme. I went and presented him with his T-shirt this morning. Here's what he said. Mike, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. It means a lot. I mean, Alex Howes has been wearing this T-shirt. I've seen him wear it around quite a bit. And every time he wears it, I'm always jealous. So now I got a shirt to match.
You got two jerseys in the team now. One will be slightly easier to defend than the other, I think.
Yeah, I think a little bit easier. But, you know, Davide is doing a pretty good job. He's making it look easy at the moment.
It's nice that in our Pedler de Charme competition this week, we had, you know, you the team, Connor Dunn as well, really entered into it. So we'd like to thank you for that. And thanks, everyone, for voting as well.
Yeah, big thanks to all the fans. Like, you know, it's really special, and a bunch of people are voting to say that you're a classy guy.
That was Michael Woods, very delighted to receive his Pedler de Charme T-shirt. I bumped into television's Daniel Freeb at top of the mountain. Well, we did share a car up, Daniel. You were telling us some stories about this climb. To plug one of your books yet again, it features in one of your books.
This is like
you were here in December.
This whole welter is a tribute to
it's
one.
It's a promotional tour.
Well, it was. We've had Calor Alto, the Sierra Nevada climb that we're doing tomorrow, and La Pandera. In fact, we came to do them, I think it was 2011, winter of 2011. In one trip, we did Calor Alto, La Pandera, and Sierra Nevada.
And tell us about this climb, because there's a green gate at the bottom. It was closed, I believe, when you came here.
Yeah, I think we spent about 3 or 4 hours just looking for the entry to the climb, going up and down the road between the two towns at sort of pincer points either side, and finally found it. The gate was locked. We had to climb over the gate so it was talking about me and Pete Goading, the photographer, like a pair of hoodlums. We climbed over. We got busted at one point. I remember on the climb, someone told us we shouldn't be here because there is I don't know whether it's still a functioning military base up here, but there is some kind of military base or air base, I'm not sure which. And yeah, we were told to leave the premises. We didn't. I think we hid behind a rock. And it's a deceptive climb because the first half doesn't look very difficult at all, but then we're watching the race now, and we're seeing even, you know, pretty good climbers getting dropped even on the first half of the climb before they get to the very tough bit. The last 2 kilometres before the road sort of flattens out are very, very tough, some 15% ramps. So let's go and watch it kick off.
Some more news today, Fran, is Sam Ullman, the young rider who's been riding extremely well for Team Sunweb, is out with illness.
Yeah. Wow, what happened to him?
He's ill.
Oh yeah.
No, he's 13th overall. He has been riding extremely well. Very disappointing. Reminds me a bit of George Bennett at the Tour, who had been riding extremely well there and suddenly struck down by illness. I mean, a lot of riders have fallen sick during this Vuelta. You spoke, I think, to Dimension Data, who are down to 3 riders. We'll be hearing that interview in a future episode of Kilometre Zero, because we're doing something on Dimension Data. And you know, teams are... I made a joke this morning, didn't I, that Aqua Blue have been loaned a bus by a Portuguese team. I was thinking Dimension Data could have probably given them their bus.
Mosef. Yeah, I mean, it's usual in the Vuelta, you know, that some teams are sliding down like to the bone, you know. I remember 15 years ago, maybe, the AHR team only finished with one rider, Mikel Astarloza, and as we were standing there with the photographers, one friend of mine reminded me that Movistar in the Vuelta 2011 has had a pretty similar case. They were down to 3 or 4 riders maybe, and it was a miserable Vuelta for them.
Is it still a team if it's just one rider?
Yeah, for sure, because there is a lot of staff around them, you know, like five or six members of staff.
Interesting, when riders do pull out or withdrawn or sent home or outside the time limit, the staff, the organisation pays for fewer staff members, and so Dimension Data, as well as losing riders, have been losing staff members as well. So it creates all sorts of challenges and difficulties, and a very quite lonely, I would imagine, for the 3 riders left on the team. And I understand Igor Anton hasn't been too well either, though he's battling through. But desperate state of affairs for Dimension Data. Terrible. And they've been very unlucky. I mean, they have, a few of the riders have fallen ill. Ben King was an early casualty. But Merhawi Kudus obviously was riding really well and in great form, and he was out with a crash, the same crash that claimed our week one Pedla de Charme, Larry Warbass. So they've been unlucky, but you know, there's, I say, a lot of riders have been ill. Now they're just approaching the lower slopes of the climb here.
Yeah.
Fran, the break is down to Micah, Bart de Klerk, and one other rider.
Who?
I can't remember.
Well, I'm sure he will make it to the top if we we should know before talking.
we should know. We'll just take all this stuff out and
sure.
Rui Costa. So the break is down to three riders now: Rafał Majka, Rui Costa, and Bart de Klerk. But I think they're gonna get caught. There's a lot of work being done behind. Trek Segafredo have been there as well. It's a day for the GC guys. I said Chris Froome earlier is a kind of pick for today, but Alberto Contador
can do great today. I mean, I'm sure he's going to attack if he has the legs, and I don't know how far he's going to arrive, but I mean, he will put on a show for sure.
He will. Let's go and watch it.
Yeah, let's go.
Now they're on the climb, about 6 kilometres left. It's extremely steep in place, 15%. There's some nasty steep hairpins coming up very soon. We've got an odd situation with Astana really making it pretty hard at the front of the group of leaders, while their leader, in theory, Fabio Aru, is getting dropped out the back. He looks like he's really swinging there, Aru. They've got Miguel Angel Lopez, of course, who won the other day. Maybe he is the new leader at Astana. But it's uncertain whether it will be a day for the GC riders after all, because the lead's about 130, but of course Micah's a very good climber. Micah's on his own now. He's dropped Rui Costa, and that might be enough for Micah on this climb. Let's see. But it's another hard test for the GC guys. Very typical of Vuelta Sage, this. But this climb is a major, major test for the GC riders. Yet again in this very mountainous Vuelta, a very hilly Vuelta. Lots of short, sharp climbs, and this is a real proper alpine-type climb. Micah held on.
Wow, impressive effort, huh? Why? What a way to keep the peloton out of his reach. It's amazing.
Superman almost caught Miguel Angel Lopez. Big attack from him. We saw Esteban Chavez was the first guy to really attack. Vincenzo Nibali and Albert Contador went after him. They then went clear themselves. Froome seemed very cool, seemed to be quite relaxed. As long as he had a teammate there, he didn't seem to panic. He eventually got back to those guys.
You know, domination is not a matter of winning, but a matter of controlling. And here we can say that Froome has dominated the race by just keeping himself cool and controlling and holding until he saw the moment to really increase the pace and catch the rest of his rivals.
Here's Wilco Kelderman. Let's try and get a word with him. Looked like it was a very hard stage, obviously a very, very brutal climb. How did you find the climb?
The climb was okay. In the beginning was a lot of headwind, so you could stay good in the wheel. And then the smaller part was coming, then the steep part. Then Astana rode already a hard tempo. And then you know that they're gonna attack on the steep part. And for me, it's better to ride my own pace. So I came all the time back. And I'm really happy with this result till now. The legs were really good today. Oh shit, that we lost some. He's one of the key points of the team, and especially for me. Yeah, it's so shit. I was really disappointed. But the legs were good, and that was good. The rest of the guys were focused, and hopefully you're gonna fight again tomorrow.
Well, you must be believing more and more in your ability to maybe even get on the podium here.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. I want to look at day by day. It's really hard for Vuelta, and it gives you only more stress if you think about it and look day by day and focus on that. I think still, till now, it's really good.
So that was Wilco Kelderman. I didn't realise when I spoke to him that he's actually moved up to third overall now. So really good day for him. He's a strong time trialist as well. And, you know, the way he rode the climb there was perfect. He talked about his strategy. He didn't go with any of those attacks at all. And you see all the time, don't you, that like Chavez did lose a little bit of time today. He paid for the... He lit up the race. He made it more exciting. He's, you know, helped to set up Lopez, but ultimately paid for it. Froome and Kelderman were the guys who really rode it at a sensible, managed pace.
Yeah, the steady climb by Kelderman, and actually a successful one. I am, you know, kudos to Sunweb, because they have trusted him quite a lot. They have given him the leadership role in this race, despite the fact that he hadn't really performed consistently over 3 weeks, never before in his career, and he is performing up to the task. So, yeah,
well, they got
a show of faith.
They got a lot of criticism for sending Warren Barguil home, didn't they? And at the moment, that decision looks vindicated. Although, as he said there, he's lost Sam Omen to illness, and that's a big loss for him. Kind of similar situation to the Giro when Tom Dumoulin lost Wilco Kelderman, you know, a real key man. I also caught a bit of Esteban Chavez at the finish. He, of course, was the first of the GC guys to attack. Here is what he had to say.
Yeah, really, really hard stage. Mostly all the teams, like Trek, Bahrain, Stana put guys to 80 kilometers for the finish line, one super hard rhythm, and everyone in the peloton suffering. I try like four kilometers to three, because I watched one video this morning, the 2009, the same climb, and I know the hardest part. So yeah, I try, but I did the wrong tactic. The really good tactic is like Miguel Angel Lopez. He wait, and the final he attack and take a couple of seconds, and I pay my attack at the 4 kilometers to the finish line.
Was that your best climbing day of the Vuelta? You put in a pretty good attack.
It's not the best one. The best one is when I did second, because I don't lose time. Today I try, but I lose time, so it's not good. But it's like this, I will try, and for sure we'll keep in trying all these stages at the front. Tomorrow will be super, super hard, super, super difficult, and yeah, we will see.
That was Chavez. You, Fran, spoke a little bit to Alberto Contador, or heard what he said, and Miguel Angel Lopez. Shall we hear from Miguel Angel Lopez? Here's what did I say there was a stage winner earlier? I think I maybe did. Yeah. I'm getting confused. Rafał Majka was a stage winner. But Miguel Angel Lopez certainly he's moved over Fabio Ruiz, it seems, in terms of being a favoured rider within Astana. Haven't checked the overall standings. He's very close to Aru overall, if he hasn't leapfrogged him today. Let's have a look at that. But here's what Miguel Angel Lopez said at the finish.
This is the second time that we've seen you doing better than the GC guys on a summit finish. How far can you go on GC? Can you make it to the podium?
We worked all day long to chase the breakaway, but in the end we missed it by only 30 seconds. Now it's just a matter of keeping going, hoping that my legs remain the same and looking at each stage day by day. We've also gained some time on the GC, and there's still a lot of racing ahead of us, and we want to keep doing the same thing.
This is the second time that we're seeing you doing better than the GC guys on a summit finish. How far can you go on a GC? Can you make it to the podium?
I'm not thinking of the podium now. I'm just taking it day by day.
No, it's been quite interesting how the team tactics are developing at Astana, because all of a sudden it looks like the leadership role, the helm is in the hands of Miguel Angel Lopez, while Fabio Aru, who was in theory the leader and came in with and indeed did begin the race in pretty good fashion, has kind of lost that role. In the finish, there was a bit of a beef between a journalist and the press officer of Astana, as she was asking Peyo Bilbao, the star domestic of Astana today, why was he pulling of the group as Fabio Aru was struggling in the back to keep the pace. As soon as the press officer heard the question, he cut the interview immediately, saying, "Hey, he's cold. Go to the bus. Go to the bus, Peyo." And he pushed him forward, so he couldn't even answer.
Well, Peyo Bilbao was very impressive at the foot of the climb on the lower slopes. He was a standard rider, really pushing it hard, as you say, as Fabio Aru was slipping out the back. Just to update you on that, I mean, Aru is still ahead of Lopez overall. He's sixth. Lopez is tenth, but in terms of time, the distance between them is just a little over 30 seconds. So there's one of them is going backwards and one of them is going forwards, it seems.
Yeah, in terms of seconds, he might be ahead, but in terms of feelings, Miguel Ángel López is clearly ahead. I mean, he's been the best. He's been better than the GC riders on the two latest uphill finishes. So that kind of tells a lot of his shape. Should we drop a comment on Peyo Bilbao? Peyo Bilbao is a great talent. You know, for years he has been struggling to find his place of the peloton. You know, he spent some years at the Euskaltel team, where he was regarded as the best prospect they had in the roster. And in Caja Rural, he kind of stagnated. He didn't find the races to really contend and to really shine. But now in Astana, he seems to have found his place. He finished the Giro, he did an amazing ride at the Tour de Suisse to finish 10th overall, and now at the Vuelta a España, he's been the best domestic, I mean, or at least the last one working for Aru and López.
Astana have had a pretty bad season and an awful season, a very sad season, obviously losing Michele Scarpone, who died just before the Giro in a crash. That was awful, and but results wise they've been having an appalling season, really. Aru sort of rescued it a little bit at the Tour with a good ride, stage win of course there, but they've got a strong team here, haven't they? And Lopez, you know, he's won one stage, he's won two stages if you listen to me, but he's won one stage, and could be good for another one and maybe to move up the overall standings.
Yeah, but do you know what? I am going to go to the buses and I'm going to try and find one of Alessandro Diez to hear about their opinion and how do they explain this change of role. Should I?
You should, Fran, you should.
Allora sono qua con Bruno Cenghialta, Astana Sports Director. Raccontami Bruno, che ragazzo.
He looks even stronger than the GC riders.
Sì, lo sapevamo.
Miguel Angel Lopez is a strong climber. We already knew it for a couple of years. He's proving to be very strong. He's arrived at this Vuelta with fresh legs, and now it's time for us to enjoy his shape, which is clearly better than riders who rode another Grand Tour and seem to be fading now. We're playing his card for the summit finishes because he's proven to be a real contender.
And what about the GC? How far is he going to go?
Sì, sembra, ma chiaramente non è che sia.
I don't know. We're getting to know him as a three-week rider on this Vuelta, and maybe in the future we'll organise a team around him. But for the moment, he's coping well before his strong rivals such as Froome, Nibali, and others. He's proven that he's not afraid of them, and he's quite strong on the climbs, and hopefully, with a bit of luck, we'll be able to make up for all the time he lost in several flat stages.
According to what we saw today, it looks like Lopez is the new Astana leader instead of Aru.
No, Fabio remains our leader until December the 31st. It wouldn't make sense to deprive Miguel Angel of fighting for stage victories. But anyway, Fabio Aru is still our leader for GC.
So we heard from Bruno Cenghialta there that Fabio Aru is still the leader. How do you see it, Richard?
One thing we didn't consider, or I hadn't thought of, was that Aru is probably leaving Astana, isn't he?
Yeah.
UAE, Fly Emirates is one possible destination. Still Trek Segafredo being talked about as well. But he does seem likely to be leaving. And that may be a factor too, because Miguel Angel Lopez is staying, I think. And as we said before, it just looks like he's the guy that's gaining momentum, while Aru, you know, who's clinging on to his form from the Tour, is losing momentum.
Yeah, I think it's more of a matter of shape than of future. You know, I think Fabio Aru right now is fading. We can see that every stage he's a bit further down in the GC, and that's a trend that is probably going to stick or to get even stronger as days go by.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for sponsoring us at the Vuelta a España, as they have done so all year, allowing us to cover the Giro and the Tour and the Vuelta, do our own three Grand Tours challenge this year. And a reminder that you can get 20% off at scienceofsport.com with the code CPAUG20. Someone else who has been fueled by Science and Sport this year throughout all three Grand Tours, we've not been fueled in quite the same way, but Hayden Groves, who featured in our Kilometre Zero last week, is riding a day ahead of the race, and he is a Science and Sport ambassador. He's also a chef, award-winning chef. They had a bit of a problem, actually. He's been sending me messages just about how they've been getting on a day ahead of the race and giving me little previews of, you know, today, this climb. He did tell us just how tough that was, and the road surface and so on made it even tougher. But they had a bit of a disaster yesterday when one of their vans was broken into with their physio equipment all stolen. So that's a setback that they could have done without. And of course, Hayden never got his baggage with all his clothes in it. So I think this might be the toughest of the three Grand Tours for him. We'll find out when we catch up with him at the end. But not easy. I mean, it's such a hard race, this, isn't it? We were talking last night with Daniel about how pretty much every day there's been something has affected one of the GC guys. There's been a story involving a GC guy every day. I guess maybe today, David de la Cruz, who's looked really good and at one point was certainly up there and fighting for a podium spot. But, you know, momentum is such an important thing, isn't it, in a Grand Tour? And when the form starts to dip a bit, it doesn't come back, and there have been a couple of signs. I mean, de la Cruz was on the wrong side of a split yesterday. That might have just been bad positioning, bad luck, or it might be that he's getting really tired, and today I think he struggled on the climb up here.
I think it's also a matter of, he's clearly strong, okay, and we saw it in Cala Alto, for example. He did the whole climb behind the favourites but at the same pace, and that was an impressive show of form. But I think that the Vuelta is being cruel to him. It's been very mean to him with all these mechanical problems. He even punctured today at the
in the neutralized zone. It was an omen, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like it was something that makes one wonder how much bad luck can that guy have in a single race. It's sad, and probably, you know, with all that amount of problems, it's hard to keep oneself focused on the race.
The RAFA Cycling Club is the largest global community of its kind. Members share their passion for the road through rides, events, exclusive club kits and racing. Find out more at rafa.cc.
Thank you to RAFA for sponsoring the cycling podcast. Already dealt with the Pedaler de Charme business. We've got one more Pedaler de Charme t-shirt to give out this Vuelta, of course, in the final week. Lionel will be back for that, for the presentation. But Michael Woods was a very grateful recipient. Conor Dunn went very close. We will get a t-shirt to Conor Dunn as well. A reminder that you can get your Pedaler de Charme t-shirts at thecyclingpodcast.com shop. That will take you to the Cycling Podcast page on the RAFA website. Now, Fran, any other business from today? We're now driving down off the mountain. It's pretty slow-moving traffic. A lot of fans up there. Not too many vehicles up there, but it was a narrow road coming down, so we're taking a bit of time. The Yates brothers, we talked about them a bit in the first week, but they have not really backed up here. I mean, Adam obviously rode a very good Giro, Simon rode a very good Tour. This is the first time they've tried two Grand Tours in one season, and both lost a lot of time again today.
Yeah, I remember speaking to Adam in the rest day. He told me that he was really struggling to find himself on the double digit gradients, and that he was expecting for it to be better for him come the high mountains, but so far it has been quite the opposite, hasn't it?
Well, maybe we'll see them, you know, GC ambitions over, but maybe we'll see them featuring a break or something over the next week. Tomorrow's Sage, of course, was the subject of your Kilometer Zero on Friday.
Yeah.
A reminder that you can become a friend of the podcast, listen to all our Kilometer Zeros behind the paywall. If you go to thecyclingpodcast.com, sign up as a friend of the podcast, £10 for the year. Thank you to everyone who has signed up during this Vuelta and before. Very much appreciated your support. We've had a great response during the Vuelta, so hope you've enjoyed the Kilometer Zeros. There are three more still to come. On Monday we've got Viva la Vuelta. That includes an interview with Javier Guillen, the director of the Vuelta, and some of the thoughts of riders, directors, journalists on the Vuelta. So Fran,
yeah,
tomorrow it's a stage you know very well. What should we look forward to?
Well, I am kind of expecting some fireworks already on the first meaningful climb of the day, Azayanas. Particularly the entry, the run up to Azayanas is very interesting one to watch, because there is a second category climb to Huejar Sierra, and then in the village they go to a really narrow, fast, sharp descent to the base of Azayanas. So those are 2-3 kilometers that are going to be key for the development of the race, since, you know, the first guy on the first guy, between the first guy on the bottom of Azayanas and the last guy of the peloton, is going to be a gap of maybe 1 minute, you know. So position is going to be very key there. Then we have Azayanas, which is a very hard climb, as you could tell from my panting in the kilometer zero. There should be moves. Thing is that afterwards they have to descend all the way down to Monachil, and that is a wide, easy road where probably there will be a regroup and everything will come back together, unless of course that one of the main favorites is dropped by the rest. In that case, it's going to be full on all the way to the finish.
I mean, tonight especially, I've seen a lot of comments from riders and fans saying the Vuelta's over, Chris Froome is going to win it. Today was a big test. Nibali and Contador had a real go. Nibali was one of the riders who said, you know, that he gave it a good go today, but Froome is just too strong. And he's still got a very strong team, and the team, I think, has still got something in reserve. But, you know, we saw the other day the crash. Is especially in the Vuelta, and you know, when with the roads the way they are, and the some of the riders and teams that are here, I don't think we can really take anything for granted, can we?
Yeah, and you know, remember one important fact: Alberto Contador has already upset Chris Froome on Azayanas, you know, and particularly on this descent down from Huejar Sierra to the bottom of Azayanas in the Ruta del Sol 2015. So I guess that he will probably try again tomorrow, and most likely Chris Froome has learned the lesson and won't let him slip through and begin the climb with some advantage.
We're definitely seeing a very focused and switched on Chris Froome here. He's going better even than last year at the Vuelta, which I felt he should have won, with, you know, if it wasn't for the great Formigal ambush last year, he probably would have won the race. But he's not, as Mike Wood said in the interview that we carried the other day, well, he hadn't at that point made any mistakes. You could say that the two crashes the other day were perhaps mistakes, certainly moments of bad luck. But he does look to be very switched on. And, you know, I remember last year as well, Lagos de Covadonga, that the stage that Nairo Quintana won, Froome was dropped, and it's the way he's ridden quite a lot of climbs at the Vuelta in particular. He's been dropped and ridden very much his own pace, similar to sometimes the way we see Tom Dumoulin, the way he rode at Blockhouse, for example. He just focused on his own effort, as Wilco Kelderman did today, as he told us earlier as well. But Froome has been so in control that he hasn't had to do that. He hasn't had to just let the wheels go and come back steadily. He has been the match really for the other guys here. And you know, today when Nibali and Contador, and well, Chavez initially went, it wasn't, I don't think that Froome couldn't follow them. I think he was using the teammates that he still had for as long as possible, and when they faded or you know, peeled off and Froome pressed on the accelerator, he got up to them relatively fast. I don't want to say easily, but he seems in control.
He definitely is. I mean, he definitely is the one of the stronger rider among the GC contenders. The only guy that has seemed a bit stronger than him is Miguel Angel Lopez, but only in these last couple of mountain top finishes. Let's see if he's consistent enough as to climb some spots more.
Let's do that. Yeah, I think he could well do. Well, listen, let's leave it there. You've got to drive back to Granada tonight, home. Sleep in your own bed tonight.
Well, hopefully.
We'll reconvene tomorrow. Hopefully have Daniel with us tomorrow as well. In the meantime, thank you, Fran.
Thank you, Richard.